there's a lot of people saying, here's what's good, here's what's kind of lousy in the housing announcement yesterday. And I get it. The housing announcements have been coming fast and furious. Just a day after the provincial government, I thought, was pretty reasonably excoriated for counting university residences or student housing, college residences too, as homes. Yeah, there's an adult there, but as Marit Stiles pointed out, and I think she had this right from the Ontario NDP, you're not even allowed to bring a microwave in there. Sometimes it's two double rooms and you'll share a bathroom. Or there's 20 rooms on a floor, as in the old school days, and there's still some old school residences, and you share what looks like a locker room set of sinks and showers. It's not quite a home if you don't have access to a sink or a bathroom on a regular basis. But some people like things in this bill. Some people do not. Smart dude. I want to bring him on. I think he's a great follow on Twitter. Senior consultant at Altus Group Economic Consulting. He is Alex Beheshti. Thanks very much for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely. So let's start with some of the positives. This was, per the provincial government, Alex, the idea of clearing out some red tape. Does the plans put forward from the provincial government clear out that red tape that we all criticize and all bash?
So, you know, the way I would characterize this bill is it's a double-edged sword. And so certainly if there are municipalities that wish to move forward in a progressive way on housing, they have a clearer path to do that. But at the same time, because of the way the bill is set up, and I'm not going to get into the pedantic specifics, if a municipality wishes to block housing, they've got now great new tools for that, too. So it's, you know, with it gives, it takes as well.
A lot of debate about whether or not, I mentioned universities and colleges, and there's been so much criticism, not just of some of the international student numbers that have just ballooned. Conestoga College in Kitchener is the obvious example, but throughout, let's say, all of Ontario, there seems to be more of an onus being put on these colleges and schools to build housing. Does it give the universities and colleges more publicly funded, more carte blanche to build places for students to attend those schools?
Certainly it does. You know, there have been cases where municipalities have stymied student resident homes, and I know that's kind of surprising in the environment we are in, but that has happened. And so this bill certainly does address that. However, I will note that, you know, a lot of people, they kind of stay on campus first year and then they leave campus for second, third, and fourth year. And one of the reasons is because the housing is not available. But, you know, a lot of people, there are sometimes opportunities on campus to stay on campus second, third, and fourth year, and people choose not to exercise that because student campus housing tends to be a lot more expensive than off-campus housing. And so when it comes to you being a student and trying to figure out how to make your budget work, you know, this is only going to work for a narrow band of students.
What about the development charge? A lot of debate about that. Municipalities, mayors, councillors, town councillors were really, really concerned about the process of it about a year ago at this time, let's say 6-7 months ago, more like. But people are very worried now. I think consumers and potential first-time home buyers are worried now that municipalities can slap on development charges. They will. And then it's the consumer and the buyer, it's stretched pretty thin as it is, that ends up paying.
Yeah, so we got to kind of take a step back to the time when Bill 23 came into force. What it did is it didn't get rid of development charges. Development charges have been on the books since forever and have always been there. And by the way, development charges are one of what I like to call an alphabet soup of municipal charges. There's CBCs, IZ, EDCs, and I could just keep rambling on these kind of acronyms. What happened with Bill 23 is that the government said that, okay, development charges from time to time go up. And so when municipalities decide to increase the development charges, they have to pace that increase over 5 years. What they've now said is you no longer have to pace those increases. And so, again, it's one of those double-edged swords where if you're a municipal leader, the politics on development charges, I think, have changed quite a bit. So, you know, for example, the city of Burlington is doing some background work on their future development charge bylaw, and they're looking at a 60% increase from current rates. And, you know, that, again, would have been paced out over 5 years. But instead, now the mayor has to kind of make that decision along with her council colleagues on how they're going to introduce that 60% increase. Because, you know, right now, new home sales are through the floor. Like, they've never been this bad as far back as, you know, the records that my company keeps. And so, you know, the politics of it are going to be not really fun for a lot of mayors. You know, they may have complained about the fact that development charges, the pacing of it didn't allow them to collect as much as they were entitled to. But now it's going to be on them to explain to the public how we can swallow 60% increases, 30% increases, you know, all sorts of increases all over the place at this time.
Can you lay out this parking minimum that looks like it's getting waived to build near transit? I'll give you an example. Me out in Ajax. There really isn't housing where it's a convenient walk to get on the go. So everybody's on board. Let's take more public transit. It's more convenient. No parking, etc. All good, all fine. But you still have to drive, I think, 90 to 95% of the time in some of these areas like Ajax, Pickering, Richmond Hill to get on the go train. What's changed? Is there anything that changes that yesterday in this bill to build high rises without a quota, if you will, for how many parking spots they have to provide?
Right. You know, so no offense to my colleagues in the planning profession, but, you know, like we don't know what's best at any given circumstance or situation. But, you know, we created these parking minimums that create, you know, a broad rule that says for every apartment, you have to build one spot or whatever it is. What the new approach will be, at least within transit station areas, is, you know, developers who are selling units will look at what the market wants and then they will build accordingly. If you are in an environment where you're the broad area is still, you know, very car centric, you're still going to see developers build parking because there's going to be a demand for that parking. And they know that if they don't have that parking, then that their home is going to be less attractive to sell. So getting rid of parking minimums doesn't get rid of parking. It just it gets rid of the bureaucratic, you know, interference and, you know, like playing around with people's projects when we don't know what's best, right? Like the person selling the product knows what sells and what's best. And so what this policy does, it's a more market-based approach towards parking.
Alex Beheshti, our guest senior consultant at Altus Group Economic Consulting. I got under a minute, but this housing has seemed to just propel itself into the number one story and the number two, three, and four stories in terms of what the public wants to talk about. I'd say a year ago, Alex, it was healthcare and education, especially on a provincial level. This is your bread and butter. Are you surprised that this is just everywhere all the time, or is the crisis that significant that it's almost all we should be talking? Nothing else matters if you don't have a place to live.
I mean, exactly that. You don't have a place to live. And so, you know, what do? You know, I'm 35 years old. I look at this bill and I say, is this going to help me get a home within the next 5 years? And, you know, it's pretty muddy about that. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that I grew up with in Toronto, and we have better jobs than our parents. And yet we can afford significantly less housing than our parents. We can't even afford to, you know, live in the places we grew up. And so, you know, there is this like sense of things are broken. Like, how can it be that I have a better job than my parents, yet I can afford way less housing? And, you know, people don't have these expectations to have a massive McMansion 5 minutes from, you know, a trendy neighborhood. I have very modest, you know, desires. I just want a two bedroom apartment or a two bedroom, three bedroom townhouse. Like, I'm not asking for much. I work a lot. I have a pretty good job. Like, why is that not working out? And I think that's a question a lot of young people are asking themselves.
You nailed it. Hey, loved having you on the show. I hope we get to do it again, Alex. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Alex Beheshti joining us. We'll certainly have him back. That's smart stuff right there. And he lays it out. 35 years old. I might be doing as well, if not better than my parents. I have zilch in terms of the opportunities they did to settle into a community somewhere.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.